WGNSTRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hello again, everybody. You're listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. I'm Mike Sullivan, and joining me is Ed Sullivan. We are sponsored by the South Bend Chocolate Cafe in downtown South Bend, and for the next 15 minutes, we will review Notre Dame's win over Navy, 38-14. We'll talk about this week's college polls. Notre Dame sits ninth in the BCS poll, and we'll talk about Notre Dame's potential bowl opportunities as we head towards the end of the season. Let's start with the Navy game. Ed, what are your thoughts on Notre Dame's performance versus Navy?
Well, that's going to depend on when you were talking to me in the first quarter when Navy went down the field, went through us like a hot knife through butter. I was concerned, I have to say. I was a little concerned by our inability to stop the option. But at this point, looking back on it, you know what? It was a very complete victory for the Irish. All phases of the game played well. The defense had trouble early, but we came back in the second half and really put the clamps on the option. And, you know, we could talk about that a little more, why we had trouble early. But you know what? I think it's a game where you satisfied all critics. You did what you had to do. You put up numbers. You had some great plays. And you got the W.
So should Notre Dame fans be concerned at all by the defensive performance against Navy? I don't really think so. I think, hey, the opposition's going to have their moments. Very few shutouts in college football.
That's right.
And the performance the defense turned in over the course of four quarters, I thought was pretty good. First two quarters, a little shaky.
Should Irish fans be concerned? Yeah, but the same concerns we had before the Navy game. There's no new concerns. It's not like there's something out there that happened. We are not a perfect defense. We have some problems up there. Great point. There are not a lot of shutouts in college football. Somebody pitched one this weekend, though. Was it
Ohio State, I think, won by
Yes, and so did Penn State, So, which is kind of interesting. They shut out Purdue. But the Irish had some problems in really there are three drives that I thought we looked bad on, and we got a break on one of them. Navy missed a, was almost a chip shot field goal, but some of it is adjusting to the speed of the option.
Well, let's talk about that adjustments. A game speed. You can't simulate Navy's execution of the option
right.
in practice,
right?
And so I think the first half you saw that, and then B, you know, we've seen all season long. This Notre Dame defense play much better in the second half than in the first half. To me, that's a credit to the coaching.
Yeah, I think so. And you know what? Minter gets some grief from some of the wackos on ND Nation. You can see a lot of posts where people are criticizing Minter. But I agree with you. When you look back, there are a lot of great second half defensive performance the Irish have this season and some real adjustments. And boy, was it obvious this Saturday right from the very first series of the second half, which I thought was a crucial series.
It was a huge series.
Yeah. It turned the tone of the game.
Navy goes three and out, and you just got the sense that if we could just stop them
right.
once, we
and
would now over. Get two scores ahead
That's right.
and change the complexion of the game.
That's right.
Make them play a little tighter. And then, you know, we stopped them twice, got three scores up, and the game was over.
Well, and that's exactly what happened. And when they got – it was really interesting and kind of sad for the Navy kids, who I have a lot of respect for, but – once they got down by that margin, they played different offensively.
Well, they had to.
They started making mistakes. They made some mental errors. Defensively, I think they made some errors.
So why are you worried in the first half? I mean,
are you really asking that? Why
gonna,
I'm worried?
No, I know why you're worried. We're going to beat Navy. We're going to put them away. The question was
someday.
The question was, would we do it with the right style points?
Yeah.
And that I think was the buzz word or the phrase all week. Long about surrounding this Notre Dame football team is style points. We're going to talk about that coming up when we talk
about
the polls. It is the polls and Notre Dame's bowl chances. But let's go back to the Navy game and now talk about the offense. A lot to like there.
Oh, absolutely. You have to look hard and dig to find some really sort of drive killing mistakes and that sort of thing.
Well, we scored on five of six drives,
right.
five of our first six drives.
Didn't punt once.
Didn't punt the whole game. Had Darius go over 100 yards. The running game looked better. Yes, I know everybody's saying, yeah, but it's Navy. Doesn't matter. You have to go out and do those things
right.
against opponents that you should dominate.
That's
and
right.
I think by and large we did.
Do we need to say it again? During the Davyham regime, we didn't do that against teams that we should have. Now we are. I think that's important to mention.
I think it is. So Darius Walker goes over 100 yards. He looked more physical, looked more decisive running the ball. The offensive line seemed to control the line of scrimmage more. But we also saw positive contributions to the running game from not only Brady Quinn, which was great,
yes,
but Travis Thomas back in the mix a little bit with the one carry for a touchdown.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute.
Okay, and James Aldridge.
And James Aldridge. Right. That was later on in the game.
But Travis Thomas.
Why does Charlie feel he needs to go pull his starting linebacker from defense and insert him as a running back? And you know, if anybody's heard us talk before, you know that we're big Darius Walker fans. Okay.
Well, I'm not big Darius Walker fan.
Well, I'm a big Darius Walker fan because the guy who's doing, you know, doing a lot with what he got, doing everything he can with what he's got.
Okay.
But there's something missing there, and when you go to Travis Thomas, who's your starting linebacker, and put him in the backfield, it's because you realize I need something else. I need a counterpunch. I need
right.
a pop.
So what's the question there?
Why aren't we looking to some of to Maneer Prince or to Aldridge to give us that pop, to have a counterpunch, different style of runner?
Well, here's why. I think early in the season, the freshman Prince isn't ready. Aldridge is hurt. And Travis Thomas is the next best available guy. That situation hasn't really changed much. And then the nature of the Michigan State game, some of the quality of the competition we played. Charlie wants those young guys to get positive experience, not just experience. And so he wants to put them in a position where they can have success. Aldridge has been hurt and is only now getting those reps.
All right, but we're
apparently Prince didn't make he missed the team meeting, did not make the trip.
Exactly, which you know is we both like. We like that kind of discipline. But the thing is, I think at this point in the season, this many games in the season, we need to see seeing Aldridge more, or if he's the guy, or Prince, because we need to give Darius a break and the offensive line a break in terms of seeing a runner with some different pops, some different speed, some different footwork, some different moves.
Agreed. I think everybody's waiting to see that, and James Aldridge took a couple positive steps in that direction. Over the next three games before the Southern Cal game, I think you're going to see Aldridge in there, and you're going to see him in there in first half situations, not mop-up
duty.
I'd
like to see that, yeah. But final point on that, it was a hell of a run.
Travis Thomas.
That was a great run.
He showed a little bit of a burst that Darius maybe doesn't give us.
That's right.
So looking for continued good things out of the running game with maybe a few other people contributing.
Yes.
Very quickly, Brady Quinn had one of those games.
He just looked phenomenal. I mean, it looked like he was running the drills at practice. He was confident and poised. Offensive line did a great job protecting him. And it just shows you, when he gets the time, when he gets a good up front, man, is he good. And he made some great throws.
One of the best throws I thought he made the whole day was a third, I think it was about third and 15 in the fourth quarter, and just zipped one over the middle to Grimes to convert. We later punched it in for a touchdown. It was a big-time throw. It was
I love the scramble and touchdown to Grimes. That was a heck of a throw.
Yeah, that was a tremendous throw as well. He made all kinds of great throws the whole day long and had one of those days, I think, that really showcased his talents, not only for the NFL, but hopefully the East Coast media, and maybe this would be great exposure for Brady when it comes time for the Heisman.
You made a good point as we were watching the replay of the game that this was all taking place on the East Coast, and you talk about voting blocks in the Heisman. Good performance against Penn State, good performance against Navy, that may help.
Okay, wrapping up the Navy game, Notre Dame did what they had to do, won decisively, looked good doing it, and no apologies for this win. Navy's still a pretty good football team. They'll end up
Navy's
in a bowl game.
Bowl.
And if I was a team from a BCS conference, I wouldn't want to play Navy in a bowl game.
Just a final point on Navy. Their quarterback, what was his name again, Mike?
Yeah, right, the kid from Hawaii.
Yeah, right. Actually, I thought the kid did a good job. Difficult circumstance. I'm not going to try and say his name, but he did a heck of a job.
We all thank you for that. Okay, so the Irish move on to 7-1 with North Carolina coming up. And after the win over Navy, Notre Dame finds itself in the most recent BCS poll, sitting at 9th. 11th in the AP, 10th in the coaches, 9th in the BCS. What do you think about that?
You really want to know what I think about that? I think it's ridiculous that, frankly, we should be 5-8 is where the Irish should be, not down at 10 or 11. And here we go again with this crap of people leapfrogging us who had open dates. We drop on an open date. Cal leapfrogs us on an open date.
Cal moves up two spots on an open date. Now, you could justify Cal being ranked where they are. You could justify the rankings of virtually everybody. But what you can't, in my mind, justify is why Notre Dame drops after wins. And other teams, the same logic doesn't apply. Now, Charlie Weiss mentioned that, of course, last week.
And that's what happened to us. That's what happened to us. Some of the sports writers, I think, and certainly the coaches, taking a shot at the fact that Charlie had the arrogance to point out that difference. And I think it's ridiculous. And you used the right word about how, well, you can justify. That's all it is it just all these massive justifications people have. They use one set of rules on one week, and the next week it's a different set of rules. You can go through and find people like Auburn. Look at the way they talked about Auburn's victory over Mississippi as if it was some gutty performance. But our defeat of UCLA was a justification to move us down.
Mark May on ESPN actually said Auburn just finds a way to win again on a tough SEC, you know, rivalry game and on the road, and they find a way to win against a traditional opponent.
Well, you know what? Some of these.
Excuse me, that's not the Michigan State game?
Oh, my God. That's right. That's exactly right. And some of this stuff coming from ESPN and some of the others, maybe CBS and some of the guys who write on their website, they have a vested interest in promoting the conferences that they put on their telecasts and the sort of off teams that they broadcast on Thursday night and Sunday night. Okay, they want to create some interest and buzz around some of these other teams, and that's one of the things going on there. But I want to say something about Mark May. I was watching on must have been Thursday game on ESPN at night, and I even forget who it was now.
Virginia Tech and Clemson.
That was it. And at the halftime report, they ran the banner across the bottom says, for the next discussion point, is Notre Dame being treated unfairly in the polls?
And again, a response to Charlie's criticism last week.
Yes. And so they began to have this discussion, and Mark May and Reese Davis have this like smirks on their faces about the whole topic. Like, come on, is Notre Dame being treated unfairly? And they talk about it a little, and they kind of throw it to Lou, who has a great quote. I mean, Lou's comment was great. He said, first of all, that you can't worry about the problems you have and the complaints you have. 90% of the people don't care, and the other 10% are glad you have the problems. And then he made the right point, which is you just have to win. You have to win and let things take care of itself. And that was his explanation for it. Mark May then says in a very condescending way to Lou, look, Notre Dame is good. They just shouldn't be considered among the top teams. They're just not there. And I thought they treated him horribly. It's this sort of condescending, arrogant attitude, this little smirk they have about Notre Dame. That's what really gets me.
No, I know. It's ridiculous. The assumption by the talking heads in the media that, well, of course Notre Dame is overrated. Of course Notre Dame isn't any good. If anybody took the time, and I'm not saying that we are necessarily the fifth best team in the country, clearly not the 10th. We're someplace between 5 and 10, and you could make a case for other teams. But what cracks me up is how everybody falls all over Louisville, you know, has no good win.
Right.
Their best win is over Miami, who is terrible.
Right. It's a down year, for a historically down year for Miami.
West Virginia, of course, has no good win
on
the schedule. And when they beat Louisville, will that be impressive?
It will now because you pumped up Louisville.
Exactly. Auburn. Auburn gets undressed at home by Arkansas. So now that justifies Arkansas. But outside of the win over Auburn, who has Arkansas beat?
That's
USC
right.
destroyed Arkansas.
Them.
So to me, there's a myth of the SEC. And the one team in the SEC that I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt to, and that's Florida. I think Florida's a pretty good football team. And Florida beat a pretty good Tennessee team. I'm willing to give Florida the benefit of the doubt.
Right, those are legit wins. I'm willing to say
SEC. I think Auburn's...
SEC's a strong conference. I have no problem saying that. But it's this, you know, as you said, this sort of merry-go-round of pumping up all the teams that play each other. Look, it's
well,
comes
let's talk
back
about
to
SC for a minute. In terms of one-loss teams, let's talk about SC. SC now is a one-loss team, and their marquee win is, I guess, Arkansas, right? They haven't beat anybody else. So SC's body of work this season apparently is better than Notre Dame's body of work this season. That's a tough argument to make. Same, again, with Auburn. But here's the difference.
you know, I think SC is getting the benefit of the doubt from last year and from the last couple of years, and so is Texas. Texas has beaten nobody.
Right. That's right.
This year, Texas, in their one big game of the year, got destroyed at home by a Big Ten power, right? Just
right.
like us, okay?
Right.
But Texas is getting the benefit of the doubt for what they did last year. And
this had a good win over Texas Tech.
Now. That's right. And this is what it comes down to. For the, we can complain and cry all we want. I believe there's an anti-Notre Dame bias in the media. You believe that? I think a lot of the Notre Dame fans out there believe it. But there's no point in getting all worked up over it, because the only way we're going to change that is to win a bowl game. Beat Southern Cal, win a bowl game, and that will change that perception.
Yeah, there's no question about that. But it comes back to the question of, does it matter? Does it matter that all this crap that we get ourselves worked up on?
It doesn't matter.
It matters because of where we are and taking away from us a legitimate shot at the national title. If we get the elevator effect of losing early, which has worked for everybody else in the past, we don't get it, and that's why it matters.
Well, we'll see. We'll see at the end of the year if a one-loss team is playing for the national championship and Notre Dame
is
11-1. If Notre Dame is 11-1. And we didn't get that shot at the national championship because of style points and beauty pageant. That's a problem. So where does that leave Notre Dame heading into the bowl season or getting close to that point where bowl bids are coming out? I think we're heading nowhere near the national championship game at this point, even with 11-1.
Yeah.
And the Sugar Bowl is the next best option, I think, for Notre Dame.
That'd be a great option. I mean, we go 10-1 and go to the Sugar Bowl and win the Sugar Bowl. That's a fantastic thing for this program.
I agree 100%. We need to win a bowl game. We have to end that streak. We have to do it this year,
yes.
And that will take care of all those perceptual problems, I think, that we have. Okay, you've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports. I'm Mike Sullivan, along with Ed Sullivan, and we'll be back later in the week with a preview of the Notre Dame-North Carolina game. Until that point, we'd like to say thank you to the South Bend Chocolate Cafe in downtown South Bend. And remember, I'm Dome, but he's Domer.